Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. We're coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, CattleCon 2026. Attendance, by the way, at this event, approaching 10,000 people. At a meeting like this, the cattle industry is certainly looking forward. However, it is also important to celebrate the wins of the past year. National Cattlemen's Beef Association CEO Colin Woodall is happy with the positive news coming out of Washington, D.C.
When you look at the One Big Beautiful Bill, the provisions of the Farm Bill that were a part of that, being able to provide funding for the National Animal Health Laboratory Network, our foot and mouth disease vaccine bank, all those are extremely important when we look at foreign animal diseases and foreign animal pests in particular, especially with screwworm knocking on our southern border, but also to have the tax provisions addressed in that One Big Beautiful Bill. You know, to be able to take the exemption level for the death tax to $15 million per person, $30 million per couple, index that to inflation so it grows over time, protect the step-up in basis, and to make it permanent is probably one of the biggest wins we in agriculture have seen when it comes to tax policy. So some huge wins here in 2025.
Woodall says the NCBA got most of what it wanted in the One Big Beautiful Bill, but supports passage of the so-called Skinny Farm Bill.
But look, it's not just about us. We have to make sure that all of agriculture is healthy. You know, if our friends in the row crops are not healthy, then we all suffer, especially those who are in the corn business. You know, we really rely on them. So we're all in this together, and we just are sending the message very clearly to the administration and to Congress in particular. Let's get all components of the Farm Bill done and put in place for another five-year extended bill.
Fresh off the release of the new dietary guidelines, which was a big win for beef protein, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. will be at CattleCon this afternoon for a fireside chat with NCBA leadership. Our coverage from CattleCon brought to you by the North Dakota Beef Commission, Minnesota Beef Council, and North Dakota Stockmen's Association. With more farm news, here's Jamie Dickerman.
Thank you, Don. Today bringing a big warm-up as a strong warm front moves through the region. Temperatures climbing overnight, continuing to rise here this morning, reaching the 30s for most areas, low 40s in parts of southeast North Dakota and the James River Valley. By this evening, a clipper system could bring some light snow and a wintry mix to northern Minnesota, with a small chance it slips a little further south. Cold front follows late today, turning winds northwest, gusts near 30 miles per hour, and we'll send those temperatures sharply lower. Tomorrow, colder and breezy. Readings falling into the teens by mid-afternoon. The weekend looks quiet, mostly cloudy, single-digit lows Saturday morning, highs in the 20s to near 30. Warming a few more degrees on Sunday. Then looking ahead into next week, temperatures remaining at or above average. Monday looks to be the warmest day. Highs will be in the 30s. Rest of the week staying in the upper 20s with a chance of snow again by midweek. North Dakota Farm Service Agency Director Brad Tickeson says federal assistance programs are meant to help farmers navigate tough financial conditions. Tickeson spoke at the Countryside Insurance Farmers Meeting in Reynolds, North Dakota yesterday, addressing payment programs, market uncertainty, and long-term outlook.
We're here to help these farmers get through these tough times, and these payments aren't going to fix everything, but they're kind of, like I say, a Band-Aid on a bleeding wound right now. And that, you know, how we're going to get that fixed, that's up to the lenders and to these farmers. And hopefully, like I said before in this presentation, that, you know, there's always a plan. We just don't know it sometimes, and we just have to get to that point where we figure it out. And, you know, farmers are, they're resilient. They'll figure it out. And I think 26, as doom and gloom as it looks right now, there'll be good things coming.
Tickeson also providing an update on the upcoming bridge payments and when farmers can expect that assistance.
Yeah, we're going to start getting information out to our county offices right now. And then the payments should be, in the month of March, you'll see money hitting that bank account. There's going to be some growing pains at the start. We were hoping by the end of February, but producers can count on the March payment time, and that'll help bankers plan for, like, getting interest paid or getting some old bills from 25 cleaned up. And it's not going to be a fix-all, but it's definitely going to help.
Tickeson says while the federal payments aren't solving every problem, they're intended to provide that short-term stability as farmers work with their lenders and advisors to manage the ongoing financial pressures. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast. You can follow us on Facebook and X, all there at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Members of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture updated their policy on crop insurance during the 2026 Winter Policy Conference, placing a stronger focus on the needs of specialty crop growers. The revised policy calls for federal risk management programs to offer insurance products that are more affordable, easier to use, and better suited for small and diversified farms, emphasizing the importance of providing payout levels that encourage participation. NASDA leaders say growers across the country have expressed concerns current crop insurance programs too complex and difficult to access. U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar says uncertainty in trade policy, federal funding cuts and delays in passing a new farm bill, creating added pressure for farmers. Klobuchar addressing state ag leaders during the NASDA Winter Policy Conference in Washington.
I think you all know I am not a fan of the chaos in the commodity markets and the ups and downs and the drying up of markets due to these tariffs. Tariffs have made our crops less competitive in international markets while making the cost of inputs like fertilizer and equipment more expensive. Farmers in my state are being asked, as I'm sure there are in many of yours, to make long-term decisions about planting and about what they're going to do and how much they're going to invest when the rules change by the week or even sometimes by the day. And what I've heard time and time again is people want certainty, and this has been the opposite.
Klobuchar expressing concern about staffing shortages and funding reductions at USDA.
We must have a reliable partner for all of you in the state when it comes to the federal government. And unfortunately, the actions of this administration over the past year have eroded trust that federal entities like the USDA will follow through on their word. There's contracts that have not been fulfilled. We've seen the cancellation of popular programs that benefit farmers, including those directly administered by NASDA's members, like the local food purchasing assistance and food for schools cooperative agreements. We know what those programs have done, and I've called on a reversal of those decisions and have worked to try to get the USDA to work with us.
Klobuchar says she'll continue pushing for the bipartisan farm bill, improve disaster assistance, and policies that provide more certainty for farmers as they face tight margins and economic uncertainty. The Environmental Protection Agency issuing guidance that advanced American farmers and equipment owners' lawful right to repair their farm and other non-road diesel equipment. EPA guidance to manufacturers clarifies that the Clean Air Act supports rather than restricts Americans' ability to make repairs on their own. It also makes clear manufacturers can no longer use the act to justify limiting access to repair tools or software. EPA leader Lee Zeldin said equipment trouble can squeeze a farmer's already tight bottom line.
For farmers, timing is everything. When equipment breaks down during planting or harvesting, delays can result in thousands of dollars in lost productivity. Unfortunately, equipment manufacturers have misused the Clean Air Act by falsely claiming that environmental laws prevented them from making essential repair tools or software available to all Americans. Being forced to haul machinery to a certified dealership, pay higher prices for repairs, and wait in line, it's not just inconvenient. It can prove to be very economically damaging.
Beef checkoff success stories have been highlighted at CattleCon 2026. Val Wagner, who's a director with the North Dakota Beef Commission, excited about the latest consumer trends.
Even though there's an increased price at the grocery store for proteins, we're seeing increased consumption still. And that's really exciting from the, you know, raising cattle point of view, where, you know, we hear a lot of talk about maybe we're going to be priced out pretty soon, but the consumer's not deciding that. They're still seeing the value in what we do.
The growing use of GLP-1s for weight loss also increasing the need for protein. Wagner calls that a huge win for beef.
Even though we've seen increase in protein, the beef increase itself is 12.4% in value and 4.3% in volume in the increase in protein. So beef is actually what consumers are choosing at the, you know, when they go and check out.
Late last week, USDA reported that during a routine inspection at an equine import facility in Florida, A horse arriving from Argentina was found with an open wound containing New World screwworm larvae. Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller said inspection and quarantine protocols worked exactly as they should, Miller encouraging ranchers to continue regular animal checks and report anything unusual, calling routine vigilance simple but effective way to protect livestock. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Treasury Department's updated 45Z clean fuel tax credit proposed rule that would make it easier for farmers to claim the credit has been lauded by biofuel and commodity groups. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson reports.
The proposed rule change to 45Z is expected to provide clarity and certainty for ethanol producers. That's according to Renewable Fuels Association Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs, Troy Bradenkamp.
Well, the proposal appears to resolve some of the previous confusion around what constitutes a qualified sale and begins to integrate the important improvements to 45Z, such as the removal of indirect land use change emissions from the carbon intensity scoring framework.
This will effectively double the 45Z tax credit's value for soy-based biofuels, while also providing eligibility for other feedstocks like canola. But Bradenkamp says there's still a lot of work yet to be done.
A new revised version of the 45Z CF GREET model, and in addition, there's questions that remain to be resolved around the quantification of emissions related to the low-carbon feedstock production at the farm level and the implementation of the foreign feedstock provisions.
The American Soybean Association is urging the EPA to finalize its overdue renewable fuels standard with robust biofuel volumes. Together, ASA says the 45Z tax credit and robust RFS renewable volume obligations will ensure that federal biofuel policies support the farm economy and rural manufacturing. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
U.S. Meat Export Federation promoting U.S. beef, pork, and lamb products overseas. Towner, North Dakota rancher Lance Marshall, who's a member of the North Dakota Beef Commission, says a critical component is the sale of underutilized beef cuts.
Like the short plate and a lot of brisket, livers, you know, hearts, tongues, all those products that we don't often think about and kind of forgot about. But yeah, those are the ones we're exporting and gaining value for.
Marshall said Korea is a huge market for U.S. beef.
They alone are bringing in $90 per head on a live animal, the value.
Check-in quotes here this morning. We're looking at Minneapolis wheat. May, we are up 1 1/4 right now at 580 3/4. May Chicago up 0.25 right now at 536 1/2. March KC, we're sitting unchanged at 530 1/4. Looking at the corn market here, March corn is down 0.25 now, 429 1/4. The July is up 0.5 at 443 3/4. Soybeans, March, we are up 8 3/4 now, 1101. And we have May up 9 1/2, 1114 1/4. The meal up 450 at 3, and the oil is down 34 right now at 55.84. Canola down 90 cents, 3 at 658.20 Canadian. And so those how we're trading here in the overnight trade. More coverage coming today from CattleCon Dunwick in Nashville all this week. This is the Red River Farm Network.